this afternoon, we are starting an exciting, in a brand new exciting series called Authentic. Okay? Look at the person beside you for a while. Mukha bang authentic? All right. Hindi copycat, ana. We're talking about authentic. I don't know if you know this, but if you're not from the Philippines, here in our nation, we have a lot of, you know, we have a lot of fake products. You know, we have a lot of Tommy Hilfiger, you know, spelled differently. You know, Levi's spelled like lives or something like that. And the premise of this series is very simple. You know what? What we're going to talk about here is us as Christians, okay, living out our Christianity. Who among you can honestly say that Christianity should not just be in the confines of this church? All right? When we go out there, we need to bless other people. In fact, the Bible tells us to be salt and light to the world. And that way, we're going to win over people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first installment of this series is very interesting. The first installment of Authentic is very interesting simply because we're going to talk about the government. Okay? We're going to talk about the government. Who am I here? You have a relative or you are a man of authority. Okay? Maybe your father or your mom is in the government or working in a government office. Can I see your hand for a while? Or you have relatives working in the government. Can I see your hand? There they are. We're going to pray for you later. As we talk about the civil government here this afternoon. Okay? Can you turn your Bibles with me for a while to Romans chapter 13? Okay? Romans 13, okay, verses 1 down to verse 7. We're going to read this all together. Can I ask everyone to please stand on your feet for a while to show respect and, respect and reverence to God's Word? You can read along with me if you want to. Look at this one. I'm reading from the ESV. It says here, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Then it says here, "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval." Then it says here in verse 4, "For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid." Look at this one. "For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience." Two more verses. "For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing." Last verse, look at this one. "Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed." Join me in prayer for our Lord. We thank you for this afternoon. Lord, as we talk about, Lord, this specific aspect, Lord, sphere, Lord, in our society, in our personal lives, I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, bring about a fresh conviction in our hearts, Father God. Lord, as citizens, Lord, in this nation where you've put us, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the Philippines, Lord, for what you're doing in this nation. Lord, what we're seeing right now, Father God, Lord, is but a tip of the iceberg. Lord, your faithfulness, Lord, is going to sweep, Lord, across this nation, Father God. Lord, allow us, Lord, as your children, Lord, to partake, Lord, of the things, Lord, the great things, God, that you're going to unfold, Lord, Lord, and unpack, Lord, for all of us, Father God. Lord, we lift this up to you. Bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go ahead and have your seats now. Just to give you a background into the text that we're looking at right now, I don't know with you, but it would be beneficial for us to get into a certain subject in the scripture if we know the background of what we're reading. Okay, the chapter at which we're reading right now is in chapter what? Chapter 13. And a lot of times, for you to understand the context of that, you'll have to read the chapters before chapter 13. In this case, we need to look at what's happening in chapter 12. Okay? Just a brief background for everyone. In chapter 12, basically what Paul would want to deliver, okay, to his audience was he wants them to exercise a different kind of love in the midst of persecution. All right? I'll give you a picture. In their time, if you're a Jewish man, you know that your line is coming from Abraham, there's a certain level of pride in them. Now, the thing here is this one. The Jewish people were subject to the Roman Empire. And for some reason, because they have this certain level of pride, people, the Jewish people, don't want to pay homage or pay taxes to the Roman Empire because they feel like they are more superior. That is why Paul wrote this chapter 13. All right? If you look at the first verse right here, look at this one. The first verse, it says here, "Let every person," he says, "be subject to the governing authorities." Look at the word authority for a while. Okay, we'll have to set this up first. Okay, let's look at the word authority because this is where, you know, our discussion would basically revolve here this afternoon. Whenever you read the word authority, I don't know with you, but there's always something that comes into our mind, right? Just like our high schoolers here a while ago, maybe for some of them, whenever they think about authority, maybe they're thinking about their parents, right? That there is an authority at home. Or maybe for some of us here, whenever we talk about authority, you know, a mayor or a police officer would begin to pop up in your mind. Now, all of those things are right. But here's what I want us to understand. Whenever we talk about authority, this is something that is very, very important. Okay? In fact, you know what, last week, we had, you know, as a church community, we had our, you know, we called it, you know, a family outing. Okay? I don't know if you were with us. I have some pictures right here. One of the games that they played was called Pabitin. Right? Alam niyo yung game na yan? You've never played this game when you were kids? It's called Pabitin, right? All the candies, all the chocolates, all of those are up for grabs. In fact, you could, you know, give a nudge to the person, you know, standing right next to you. You lose your Christianity just to be able to grab the chips. Right? Now look at this one. Having this picture right here, I want us to understand that in the world that we're living in right now, authority is up for grabs. In fact, the triumph of good versus evil, the triumph of God versus evil, in the first place, wasn't a battle for power. It was a battle for authority. Hello? Right? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took the authority from Satan and gave it to the church. It was a battle for authority. When Jesus died on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, the devil basically didn't lose his power, but his authority greatly diminished. Are folks catching this? That is why authority is a very, very important thing for us to understand. So here's my question to all of us here this afternoon. Why do I have to be under authority? Tell the person beside you for a while, why do you need to be under authority? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Maybe for some of you, you broke the speed limit, you were apprehended for that, and you're questioning the authority. Why? In the first place, you know what, we are in a democratic country. Why do I need to be under authority? Right now, I want you to catch this. I want you to understand this. Every single corner or every single place in this world is under the authority of a certain leader. Hello? Every single corner in this world is under the authority of a certain leader, just like the ASEAN leaders right here. Right? We're not just talking about the presidents. We're talking about even tribes people have their own tribes leader. Right? A barangay in the Philippines, they have their own barangay captain. In our barangay, in Barangay Banilad, okay, our barangay captain is the Honorable Raul Bana. Siguro sobrang proud ng asawa niya na pag i-introduce siya. By the way, this is Raul Bana. He's my Bana. Nice. Now, here's the thought that I want us to understand here this afternoon regarding that. If you come to understand this, if with the presence of all of these leaders, man still has the capacity to do evil things, then what would the world look like if there will be no governing authorities? If with the presence of all of these laws around us, we still tend to break all of those, can you imagine this world without governing authorities? And that basically answers your question that governing authorities are basically something that we need. A world without a governing authority is like a crib without bars. In fact, even with the presence of bars, some children or some babies would try to climb out of the crib. Talk about rebellion. that is innate in us will try to find a way to break the law. That is why civil authority or government authorities are very, very important. So it's as simple as this one. Even if I talk about myself right now, Archie needs to be under authority because I know my tendencies. We need to be under authority because you know your tendency to break the law, to go against what God has set up for us. Then look at this one. In verse 13, in verse 1, it says here, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Here's my question for us this afternoon. Here's another question. Who are the governing authorities? Who are the governing authorities? You know, this is not talking about church authority. This is talking about governing authorities. What we're talking about here are people or men of authority, people behind the office. I'm talking about your mayor. I'm talking about our vice mayor. I'm talking about the congressman. I'm talking about people of authority, policemen for that matter, people in uniform. All right? I hope we are on the same page right now when we talk about governing authorities here. Okay, this is what we're talking about here. And here's what the Bible tells us to do. Look at this one. It says here, let every person be subject to them. What does it mean to be subject to the governing authorities? Now you have, think about the mayor. Think about every single government officials right now. The Bible tells you and me as Christians to be subject to them. To be subject simply means to be under jurisdiction or to obey. Now, whom you can honestly say that sometimes we're having a hard time obeying the governing authorities. You know, sometimes this is a struggle for all of us. You know what? In a practical sense, okay, you don't need to go deeper into the Bible. In a practical sense, I would firmly believe that a Filipino man can do this. Because a Filipino driver who has the habit of beating the red light in his native city for some reason, when they are outside of the country, they have all the capacity and capability to obey the traffic law. If you're in the Philippines, someone apprehends you, you don't want to give your license, you try to argue with the officer. Sometimes, if you see that the officer doesn't have a gun, you try to collar the person. In other nations, you don't want to do that, you just try to explain yourself. Sir, sorry, I'm from the Philippines. In the Philippines, we're all colorblind or something. I didn't see the red light, I thought it was green. Palusot. At least sa labas, sinungaling. Dito, pilosopo. It gives us a picture that, you know what, we have the capacity to basically obey the law and be subject to governing authorities. God governs the world. Okay, I want you to catch this. God governs the world through civil government. If you are here this afternoon, and you are super, and you are absolutely frustrated with our government, let me tell you something. Government is not man's idea, it is God's idea. Because it is God's invention, it was his idea, meaning to say at the end of the day, man cannot sustain it, God can sustain it. So we don't have to lose our hope to the government because we know someone behind the government. Hello? Even with all the things that are happening right now, we basically trust the sovereignty of God over all of these things. At the end of the day, I want us to understand this. As Christian people, okay, as Christian citizens in this nation, parang rally lang to, no? I want us to understand that whoever you are, whatever your net worth is, whoever your connections are, you will have to be subject to authorities. You will have to put yourself, you know, a subject to authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. What do we catch here? What do we catch here? Look at this one. It says here, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Look at the first line there. It basically gives us a picture that if you are here this afternoon and you are a man of authority, I want you to understand that your authority is a delegated authority. At the end of the day, you will have to give a full account to the Lord as to how you've utilized the authority that He has delegated on you. You are where you are right now simply because of God's divine appointment in your life. Then it says here, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Now look at this one. The word instituted here simply means ordained. Okay? So meaning to say, a civil government in a certain nation, guess what? It has been ordained by God. God basically has set all of those things up. Maybe some of you here this afternoon, you might be thinking, since we're looking at the Bible when it comes to, you know what, government, you know, civil government and politics or something like that. Maybe some of you are thinking, is Romans chapter 13 verse 1, does it apply to all governments? Does it apply to everyone? I mean, is this just for Brother Eddie Villanueva? Is this just for, you know, for Rafi Biazon? Is this just for Bishop F. Tendero? Is this just for, you know, Christians who are in politics? I want you to understand this. Scripture always supports Scripture. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, it says here, God removes kings and sets up kings. So if you ask me right now, does this apply to everyone? The absolute answer here is basically yes. Now before you come, before you might say that this looks quite absurd, maybe some of you, you have someone in mind right now, Archie, are you talking about even this worst politician right here has been set up by God? No, the absolute answer to that is basically a big yes, according to God's word. But for us to understand this, I want you to look at this for a while. Whenever you look at the cross right here, what comes into your mind? What comes into your mind whenever you look at the cross? Yeah, Jesus. What else? Salvation. Right? You talk about your what? You begin to imagine or think about or contemplate about your redemption. Now I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this. If you're thinking about the worst politician ever, at the very top of your mind, I want you to understand this. Will there be a story of redemption if there was no King Nebuchadnezzar? During the time of Daniel, if this person didn't sprout out of anywhere and conquered the Israelites, do you think all of us here will be saved at this very point? If there was no, you know, Nero during the time of Paul, do you think the church, the early church, would begin to proliferate? At the end of the day, folks, I want us to understand this, that every single civic leader, every single politician in this world would basically, at a certain time frame, serve the greater purposes of God. If right now, as a nation, we are experiencing someone who doesn't seem to be a blessing to the Philippines, I want you to understand it. Sometimes God would set up someone not to bless the people but to make them ripe for harvest. That God is basically setting up the nation through this man. Because down the road, we are going to experience breakthroughs as a nation. Every governing authority in this world serves a purpose in its greater plan. So what is our responsibility now? I want you to understand this. If you're here, you consider yourself a Christian, your responsibility is not to rebel against the government. Our responsibility is to cover the government with prayer and be subject to them. You know what? In 2016, which is next year, you know what? I think okay, one of these guys right here will become our president. I don't know who. By flashing this picture right here, I'm not saying, with everything that I have said so far, I am not suggesting that we need to become passive citizens of this republic. In fact, all the more, we're going to toil in prayers. All right? Down the road, one of these guys right here will become our president. And our job right now, whoever that would be next year, is it next year? Whoever that would be next year, Our job as Christian people in this nation is to rally behind the president and keep on praying for him. That is our responsibility. You know, let me just tell you this as early as now. You know, what I was thinking about this last night, para hindi kayo ma-shock sa future. You know, I felt like, you know, sometimes there's a big calling that God is placing in my life. And, okay lang, may announce ko na lang ngayon. I don't know. Maybe, just maybe, okay, next year, this is the real motive behind this preaching. I want you to all to support me as I file my candidacy. Of course, I'm kidding. Pero meron po tayong mga people dito sa church na hindi sila, ayaw nila maging counselor lang, gusto nila maging senator. Okay? Yung kaibigan ko dito, kaya nga wala dito eh, kay Pedida Yudabida. Tapos yung kaibigan kong sobrang engaged ngayon, glittering eyes, alam mo yun, parang may naisip siyang iba, naisip niya lang, baka down the road, kay Villegas, libre po ang bigas. But of course, one of our prayer is to make this man one of our own, to make him a Filipino, you know, to make him eligible for candidacy next year. Just in case you want to support this guy, please, you know, pray for him. Basta kay Patrick, walay atik. Ay, kagawad pala yan. Sorry bro, ha? It's kagawad from senator to kagawad. I hope you don't feel insecure. At least I'm a little higher than you, a counselor. But anyway, if you're new here, that's a joke, of course. But look at this one. Every time we think about all of these, you know, civil government leaders around us, our job is to rally behind them. I want you to understand this. You know, sometimes we do it this way. I don't know if you've ever done this, but look at this one. In the Philippines, there's 7,107 islands, right? Low tide, okay? Of that 7,107 islands, okay, we have 70-plus dialects. You know what it means? It also means that in those 70-plus dialects, we could curse this nation in different dialects. If someone pops up on the TV, a politician pops out on the TV, and you as a Christian, you look at that politician, you as a Christian, you tell that person, ako bobo yan. Walang mangyari talaga, magiging bobo yan. Okay, if we keep cursing the politicians that we have, then that is the trap that this nation is going to take. Instead of releasing blessing, the Bible says whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. So your words as a Christian man, as a Christian woman, is very, very important. Instead of cursing all of these politicians, listen, if you lambast them on Twitter, you are lambasting God's ordination. If you join the stupid bandwagon of people lambasting this, lambasting that, guess what? Nothing will happen. That's why we're getting stuck. Instead of cursing all of our leaders, you know, in the nation right now, what if we just start praying for them? That you're going to pray for a certain level of conviction. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you're going to send someone who's going to preach the gospel to them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you're going to encounter you. You know what's the problem that we face sometimes as Christians? Because of our righteousness. Minsan nagiging self-righteous. Hindi pala minsan. Madalas nagiging self-righteous tayo. Tapos there's this favorite word that we use whenever we go around. We always use the word dapat. Ah, dapat kasi ganito yan. Dapat kasi ganito. Di sana ikaw na lang tumakbong presidente. We have to release blessings in this nation. We have to release blessing in our very city. Instead of joining the people, you know what, making reclamo, making all of these comments, why not do something? Start praying. Start releasing blessing. Start, you know, catapulting this nation to a different level through the words that's coming out of your mouth. According to Newell, he said, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, one of the worst Roman governors Judea ever had, and Paul under Nero, the worst Roman emperor, and neither our Lord nor his apostle denied or reviled the authority. In verse 8 it says here, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Now look at this one. The word resist right here is actually taken from it's actually a military term. It simply means, the word resist there simply means to line up with against someone. Okay, so it's a military term. It's like a military platoon lining up. I have a picture right here. It's like a military platoon lining up. So if you resist the government, the Bible says, you are lining up against God and what He has ordained. Even if you're a Christian, if you resist His divine order, you're like lining up against Him. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says you're going to incur judgment. Okay? You're going to incur judgment. Judgment right here, folks, look at this one. It's from the Greek word krima, which simply means the punishment of civil authorities. Judgment here, if you go against the government, judgment here, you incurring judgment, is not really God judging you, but it's His order judging you. Meaning to say, the government can punish you, and that is your judgment. Because you are going against it. Because you are basically going against the law. You know, the civil, I gave you a picture of the crib a while ago. You know, the civil government, they're like the railings on the crib. If you insist on going out and you get a rod, that is like the punishment that the government gives you. So that has been ordained by God. I mean, the civil government has been ordained by God. You know, if you read your Bible, folks, I want you to understand it. Nowhere in your Bible can you see something about God endorsing personal vengeance. I mean, there's nothing in your Bible that tells you, you know what, if someone did this to you, pagka pinersecute ka, batuin mo ng Bible. Wala sinasabi yung Bible. The scripture doesn't endorse anything like that. It is the job of the civil government to what? To enforce the law for us. That's why we need to keep on praying for our civil government to basically function properly. I was watching the news 2 nights ago. I was looking at all of these rallies. I don't know if you're familiar with this. I'm not saying, look at this one. I am not saying that we should not be proactive for reforms. That's not what I'm suggesting. But look at this one. For some reason, I want you to catch this. Young people, look at this one. For some reason, we have been a group of people who's riding from the success of EDSA 1, and for some reason, naging addict tayo sa rally. Hello? Am I making sense here? Addict tayo sa rally. When I was in college, I was doing the same thing. Now look at this one. Every time you get into something like this, there was this group of people 2 nights ago. They were rallying against the government. For what reason? Because the government is giving them fines because they went against the law. They didn't register what they're doing. The government is imposing fines on them, and now they are mad against the government. Now look at this one. For some reason, if the government implements the law, you get mad at them. If the government doesn't implement the law, you get mad at them. Saan ka ba nalang pupunta? Sa kaliwa, sa kanan? So there's this group of people, you know, working in all of these things. I want you to catch the reality of this and how this has become an epidemic in this nation. Look at this one. If you join something like this, let's say you are a worker, you are a manufacturer, okay? You belong to a manufacturing company. You join something like this. You join a rally, again, another rally in Mendiola. It takes you 4 hours for the initial meeting with all of your leaders. This is what we need to do. You start from 7 p.m. and in the evening, 4 hours. The next day, it takes you 3 hours to what? It takes you 3 hours to work on effigies and all of these banners. Right? After that, you go for the initial briefing before you go out there in the streets, which is another 4 hours. After the 4 hours, you go out there in the streets and you are rallying for another 4 hours. That is equivalent to how many hours? That is equivalent to 15 hours. You multiply 15 hours by the minimum wage of 60 pesos, that is 900 pesos a day. You keep doing that for the next 10 days, that is 9,000 pesos for 10 days. Multiply that by 500 rallies, that is 4.5 million pesos in 10 days. Now you're asking what's happening. Tapos the next day, 4.5 million ang nawala. After the 10th day, you are out there in the streets again because you cannot feed anything for your family. That is what's happening. Now compare it, if you are a Christian, compare it, instead of doing something like that, what if your 15 hours, use your 1 hour to really pray earnestly for the government. And then the rest of the week, you spend it to become productive. Guess what? At the end of the 10 days, something happens in your life, something happens in the government. I don't know if you know this, but we love going out there and we keep shouting. What do we keep shouting? Ibagsak! Ibagsak! Ambira, sigaw tayo na sigaw. Ibagsak! Ibagsak! Anong gusto mong iangat? Kasi kahit sinong leader ang gusto mong ilagay dyan, we will always criticize the leader. Why? Because you are always right. Why not start praying? We go out there, linisin ang pamahalaan, linisin ang gobyerno, chong, teka lang, yung kwarto mo, nalinis mo na ba? Yung ventilador mo, ayaw na umikot sa sobrang kapal ng alikabok. Palinis-linis ka ng gobyerno, yung kwarto mo, yung baba ng kama mo, puro chipi. It doesn't make sense, it doesn't add up. I hope we come, you know, there's just a few of us here. But if we don't join the bandwagon into these kinds of mentality, I'll tell you what, you can create a change in this nation. I want you to catch this, friends. You honor God if you honor the government. You honor God when you honor the government. A few more verses and we're going to end. In verse 3 it says here, "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience." If you look at all those three verses, it could be summed up into one thing. As Christians, we need to be the best citizens that we could be. We have to be above or a cut above the rest when it comes to you know the following the law of the land. It says here, "For he is God's servant for your good." You know, the word servant here is the word minister. You know, 2 weeks ago, when I was in the airport, the taxi line was so long. I got a rent-a-car service. To cut the cost, I invited some people in the line to join me for going in the same direction. So I happened to be with an Indian guy. So this guy is a very fulfilled businessman. So he was telling me, what is your job? He told me, I'm a minister. I was like, wow, you're a minister? I was like, wow, nagulat siya, minister ako. I was like, what specifically? Where in the government are you a minister? I was like, okay, I get what he means. It's like, oh, sir, sorry. What I mean by minister is that I'm a pastor. You know, because in the Philippines, we call it Department of Justice, Department of like this. In the other nation, we call it minister because a minister is a servant. So a government official is a minister, just like a pastor. They both serve the people. Right? Then it says here, he is a minister for your good. He is a minister for your good. Archie, how could it be good if he's stealing all of the money? Just hold on. Because at the end of the day, whatever bad thing that may be happening in the government, God will turn it out for the good of all those who love him and are called according to his purpose. At the end of the day, I find security in the fact that God is sovereign over the Philippines. That God is sovereign over this land. But if you do wrong, look at this one, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. This is an argument for capital punishment. I don't want to go there, of course. But this is one. He doesn't bear, the government doesn't bear the sword in to just be in vain. Last week, you know, that Indonesia executed 7 prisoners for smuggling drugs, you know, from Bali going towards Australia. One of those guys is a pastor. Iba tingin niyo sa akin na hindi, ibang pastor yun, ha? Not all pastors are like that. Now, what happened to him was that he was a drug smuggler. He became a pastor inside the prison cell. You know, he realized all of his ways that he did in his life and became an ordained minister. But even with that good behavior in the cell, he was still executed. Why? Because he violated the law of the land. That is fair enough. He knows that. He knows that it was fair enough. Here's my admonition for everyone. As people from Victory Dumaguete, you know, as loyal citizens, okay, in our nation, who are you? You are a proud Filipino. You are a proud Filipino. Kaya hindi nyo na kailangan mag-chinchansu. Hindi nyo na kailangan glutathione. Last admonition from Paul. Look at this one. In verse 7, it says here, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Let me go to the first one right here. Taxes to whom taxes is owed. What comes into your mind when you hear the word tax? This branch of the government right here, I mean this department, the BIR. You know, I was imagining the people behind BIR. I was thinking about them. Grabe, nakakaawa itong mga taong to. Alam mo bakit? Because if they do their job, people hate them. If they don't do their job, people still hate them. So what is my admonition for everyone, as citizens of this nation, as Christian citizens for that matter? Just, it's very simple. Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. If you are here and you are a businessman, pay your taxes and do not undervalue your declaration. I was talking with someone a couple of days ago. He told me he wants to present, you know, a nice center for Victory Dumaguete. It's like, wow, there we go. But he said, but here's what we could do so that it's going to be cheap. We have to undervalue the tax. Sorry, hindi pwede. I mean, if the rest of the people are doing it, who's telling you that we ought to do that? We were talking about this last week. We go against the impetus. Pay your taxes and do not undervalue them. Then it says, look at this one. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. I have a picture right here of one of our TMO in the city. I think she's, you know, she's very popular. I can't seem to grab a picture of her except for this one. Let me tell you, I want to tell you a personal story, okay, about this person, right? You know, you're familiar with this TMO officer. By the way, here's what I want us to do. After this meeting, we have a TMO officer down there. He has been with us for a couple of months now. Why don't you go to him and encourage him? Tell him, hey, good job. Just encourage him for that matter. But anyway, going back to this person right here. You know what? I was in a tricycle, in a pedicab, going down from Harold's mansion. When Silliman closes, Hibbard Avenue closes, tricycle needs to turn left. Right? Tricycle needs to turn left. This man right here was rushing towards Hibbard Avenue, and suddenly the TMO officer, you know, jumped out of the sidewalk and told him to stop. So he stopped. And the TMO officer told him to turn left. You have to turn left because the road has already been closed. And it was like, he was so adamant. The person was arguing with the TMO officer. I mean, this is a man, this is a woman in uniform. If you don't want to respect the person, at least respect the office that she represents. And you know, the person, you know, the driver would just speak back at her, and she would do the same. So after that, the driver said, okay, I'm going to turn left. But before turning left, she bullied the officer. She said, kabayo! Kabayo ka! And I was like, wow, pogi mo ha? Ano ka, unicorn? Friends, we don't have to do that. Just follow the law. And we will not get into trouble. You know, in the Philippines, we call our people who don't have gun. Why? Because we don't respect the office. We do under the table because we don't respect the office. We don't pay our taxes because we don't respect the office. Guess what? You go against all of these things, you are going against what God has ordained. It's as simple as that one. The Philippine president, the mayor, the governor, the congressman, our job right now, you know, we're not talking about politics here. You know, if you are the mayor of this city, we'll have your picture right here. Just that they're the officers that we have. But you know what? I want to tell you something. If you're not agreeable with their policies, guess what? You're not better than them. You are not. Trust me, you are not better than them. Our responsibility right now is to pray for divine wisdom for them. To pray for God's protection to be upon them. Amen. Let me just end this with a text right here. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 16, then we're going to end with a prayer. It says here, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent to him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, okay, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. By doing it, by being the best citizen that we could be, of course, by the sheer grace of God, we win more people into the kingdom of God. Amen. Allow me to pray for some of you here this afternoon. I want you to listen carefully. If you're here this afternoon and you are a man of authority, maybe you are a government officer, you are an elected official, or you are a relative of an elected official, or let's say also you are a government worker. Yeah, how would you know that? You are a beneficiary of GSIS. If you're the person I'm talking to, can you please wave your hand for a while? We want to pray for you. Just keep them raised for a while. Very good. Very good. Anyone else? Before we start praying, just raise your hand. We'll pray for you. You know what? We are mighty proud of you. We are just so proud of what you're doing for this city. If you're seated right next to them, can you please extend your hand to them for a while? You don't have to touch it. Just extend your hand to them. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for each and every one of us here this afternoon. Lord, who are in the position, Lord, of authority right now. Lord, together with our relatives, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, going to do in their lives, Lord, even right now. I thank you, Lord, because you've called them, Father God, Lord, to be salt and light to this city, Father God. Lord, to this nation, Lord. I thank you, Lord, because, Lord, even right now, Lord, you're telling them, Lord, that they are different simply because they are your child. God, I pray, Lord, for divine wisdom, Lord, as they govern the affairs of the city. Lord, govern, Lord, the affairs, Lord, of this nation, Father God. We lift our hands before you, Lord, in humility, knowing and understanding, Lord, that we cannot do this on our own. But, Lord, we need your wisdom, we need your guidance, Lord, and we need your protection, Father God. We speak your blessing, Lord, to be upon them, Father God. We release, Lord, your favor, Lord, to be upon them. We even pray, Lord, for our mayor, Father God, for our governor, Father, Lord, for the congressman, Father God, Lord, for every single councilor and every elected, Lord, officials, Father God, in this city, Lord, and the neighboring cities, Lord, and towns, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for their life, Lord. As a church, we are one with them, Father God. Lord, into the things, Lord, that you have, Lord, placed ahead of them. Lord, we rally behind them in prayer as a spiritual family, Lord. We speak your blessing upon them as well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me just give God praises for that one.